of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This past Sunday in Harlingen, Texas, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents arrested a Roman Catholic nun as she was walking to Mass at the Church of Our Lady of Sorrows. It's not the first time in recent memory that ICE have arrested and held those who are outwardly religious. There was an Episcopal priest in Texas, an imam in New York. There have been several Roman Catholic priests, and just down the road in Cincinnati, a Muslim chaplain was detained and held for over 2 months. In a land of religious liberty and freedom, our government is routinely arresting and holding religious leaders. Most depressingly, though certainly not surprising, those religious leaders who have been detained have had a certain common characteristic. They have all been persons of color. The racism of our immigration conversation is being laid bare before our eyes. Sister Letty is 56, a nurse, avowed religious woman. She has all the paperwork she needs to work in these United States, but she was born in Nigeria, which, despite her flowing white habit, was enough for ICE to arrest her and hold her, and only release her after bipartisan outrage. Just days before our nation's 250th anniversary, agents of our government deemed a 56-year-old nun in a habit a threat to our way of life. My friends, Jesus weeps. This is not the way. These actions are in no way a reflection of the coming kingdom that our Lord preached. God's kingdom is not one separated by race or tribe or language. God's kingdom is a shining city on the hill where all of his children are gathered together under the banner of the Prince of Peace. God's kingdom is where the lion and the lamb lie down together, and all have more than enough to eat. God's kingdom is where swords are beat into plowshares and where no person experiences fear or hate. This is God's kingdom. And yet, we are told that this is the golden age. We are told that this is as good as it gets. We are told that this is God's dream for America. Jesus cries out, "To what will I compare this generation?" It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' They say, 'Be a good person and you have nothing to fear.' They say, 'Go to church and you will be accepted.' They say, 'Assimilate and you will be one of us.' The truth is, this has never been true for all of us. The people listening to Jesus did not want a savior in the way he came to be a savior. They did not want his form of kingship. They did not want his form of lordship. They wanted it to fit neatly into their box and not disturb things too much. They wanted things to be certain and safe in this life, and that is not what we have been promised. We have not been promised a way of life without hurt or struggle or hardship. We have been promised a way that leads to eternal glory. And in this country, we have been promised a way that is much different than where we are today. as the poet Langston Hughes wrote, "Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe." If you know Hughes's work, if you know the story of these last 250 years, you, like him, have likely heard the voices crying out from the margins. "I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of hope and strength, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of grab the work, of work the man, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. Yet I am the one who dreamt our basic dream in that old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its might and daring sings. In every brick and stone, in every furrow turned, that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I'm the one who left Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lea, and torn from Black Africa's strand I came to build a homeland of the free." This poem, "Let America Be America," is hard to hear. For many, for most of us here, we have benefited from a version of America that was built on the backs of others. We have benefited from injustice. We have benefited from greed and racism and xenophobia and sexism. We have put the yoke of burden on the backs of others while setting aside the yoke that Jesus offers to us. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The version of life that Jesus offers to us is one where we are inextricably linked one to another, sibling to sibling, beloved to beloved. It is a life where we take the yoke upon ourselves and refuse to put a yoke on anyone else's back. It is a life where the demands are high, but the reward is beyond comprehension. It is a life with one another. It is a life with Jesus. It is a life with God. And that life is the pearl of great price. This life is a lofty vision for a country as a whole, but let us make peace with nothing less, for we have tasted the fruits of less, and they are not worth consuming. Hughes closes his poem this way: "Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet and yet must be, the land where every man is free, the land that's mine. The poor man's, the Indians, the Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any old ugly name you choose, the steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we, the people, must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. My friends, it will be slow, hard work to reach the dream that we have been promised. Grow not weary. Lose not hope. Be of good courage, because we have one another. We have the promise of a Lord who will be with us always, and with him and through him, nothing is impossible, not even the unrealized dream. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.